today on Annenberg Radio News.
Abandoned the guy that I was with that time, and I went to bed with him that night.
Hear how two people fell in love, each in very different ways. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 13th, 2014. I'm Bryony Ng. Public advocate group Consumer Watchdog is calling on the US Department of Justice and the FCC to block the proposed merger of Time Warner Cable and Comcast Cable. Comcast has made a deal to buy Time Warner Cable for $45 billion, but John M. Simpson of Consumer Watchdog says this deal is not in the public interest.
The merged Comcast would be just have huge market power and would be able to drive rates up, and definitely would, and wouldn't have any particular incentive to improve service.
He says if the two companies merge, they'll create an unfair monopoly with too much power over distribution and content.
Because Comcast has reached out like an octopus and is now got its tentacles into providing content when they acquired NBC Universal. That's, you know, very problematic.
Simpson thinks it's important now more than ever for people to speak up.
I think people need to not sort of say, oh, we've always just had this cable company and we know it's bad service and we know they never come when they say they're going to, and throw their hands up and say it's hopeless. I mean, this is a time to speak out and to educate yourself about what's at stake and to push back.
The Obama administration will look over the deal to see if it really does violate antitrust laws. For the second time, the White House Task Force on Climate Preparedness and Resilience met to discuss best practices to respond to climate problems around the country, an issue Mayor Eric Garcetti referred to as the greatest problem of our time. Sam Dorn was at Los Angeles City Hall as Task Force members held a press conference discussing their meeting.
Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti describes what he sees as the three goals of the task force. The first is to streamline the coordination between state and federal governments.
To make sure that we can, in times of disaster and in planning for the prevention or the mitigation of these disasters and the impact of climate change, to have better coordination, to knock down those barriers, to have a point of contact through the federal government to make sure that we are prepared.
The second goal is to create a checklist of good practices and ideas for communities to share.
It's about creating a checklist of things where we share the best practices, where we go to any of our colleagues, so a fellow mayor in my case, and can say, hey, do you have a great rooftop ordinance like we have here? Do you have a solar installation ordinance like the one that we're working on here?
And third, Garcetti says they aim to create ways to measure their progress.
I think out of this we'll be setting some very particular goals, at least for ourselves at the local level, and we'll try to measure and quantify what we are able to achieve, how much carbon we're taking out of the air, how much we're able to improve our resilience, with metrics that we can put out there as part of what this task force is about.
Task force members continuously emphasized two points. The first was from Nancy Sutterly, chair of the White House Council on Environmental Quality.
So this is a public health issue, it's an environmental issue, and it's an economic issue.
White House Director of Intergovernmental Affairs David Agnew says the other point is that climate change will be solved at the local and state level.
Many of the answers lie at the state, local, and tribal level. Indeed, state, local, and tribal leaders across this country are already taking amazing actions, and the work of this task force is to figure out how to make more of those good things happen.
Des Moines, Iowa Mayor Frank Cowney helped close the conference by saying current leaders have to think about the future. Sam Dorn, Annenberg Radio News.
Facebook turned 10 this month, and the social media site is still continuing to evolve. Today, the site added new options for gender identity. Until now, users had to select either male or female. Now, they'll have dozens of other options to choose from, including intersex, transsexual, and androgynous. One of the first people to take advantage of the change was Brielle Harrison, a trans woman who is a software engineer for Facebook. And the award for worst freeway in California goes to Interstate 5 in LA County. The California Department of Transportation says that in 2012, cars spent more than 6.5 million extra hours on I-5 due to heavy traffic. The numbers for the report were calculated using speed tracking sensors underneath the freeway's pavement. The title for worst highway traffic previously belonged to the Interstate 405, which over the past 2 years has come in second. Several stretches of the 5 are being widened in order to decrease congestion. UNESCO streamed live radio shows today from its headquarters in Paris to celebrate the Third World Radio Day. The focus this year is on gender equality in radio. Todd Pringle is the Vice President of Product at Stitcher, a radio and podcast app. He says the app is one place to find plenty of content by women.
You know, a lot of it is digital podcast content that all kinds of creators out there with very, very wide-ranging interests create. And a growing number of those creators are women. And many of the podcasts in our top 100 are hosted by women. And, you know, I think it's just democratization in general for this type of audio content.
Listening through apps is on the rise for traditional radio as well. NPR's on-air listeners have declined over the past 3 years, but app downloads are up. Norway and the Netherlands currently lead the medal counts at the Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. The US is ranked third with 12 medals. One of USC Annenberg's graduate students, Law Murray, is in Sochi covering the Olympics. We spoke with him last week, and producer Catherine Davis checked in with him again today for the latest Olympic news.
All right, so Law, tell us how it's going at the Olympics.
Oh, it's actually going well. We're not even at the half point yet. There's been pretty good competition. And, you know, that's where we're at. It's been very warm here. The temperature's got over 60 today. It's going to get over 60 tomorrow. Any precipitation, obviously, is going to be rain, not snow. So these have been like the global warming Olympics.
Is that, you think, affecting some of the snow sports?
Yeah, I understand. The Olympics are once every 4 years, but these athletes, they train all year long. They train all over the world. They train in all kinds of different terrains. But to come here in Sochi and to basically have to deal with just a very different climate, it has caused an adjustment in a lot of these athletes' games.
Yeah, it seems like the Americans' performances maybe haven't been quite as astounding as people were hoping. Do people seem disappointed there?
It's been a funeral in some places, depending on what event you're watching. But there's been a lot of success. There's been a lot of emerging stars. And I actually think that that's more important than the fact that a lot of athletes who have had past glory fell short this past week.
Have you had a favorite event to watch so far, or one that you're looking forward to the most?
This is weird, but you know, I'm looking forward to the skeleton. I'm actually here at Sankey Sliding Center and got to see the team event for the luge, the relay. That was really fun to watch. The atmosphere in that stadium was just incredible.
So how much longer are you in Sochi?
I'm in Sochi for the duration of the games, and that means we've got another 10 days here. There's only a fraction of the medals have been awarded so far.
Yeah. So you said you've been coming down with an illness?
Yeah, I want to get healthy because it's not fun to cover the Olympics when you're not 100%.
At least you're not competing.
Oh, man, if I was competing, I would still compete just to say I competed. But, yeah, I'm definitely not in medal form right now.
Well, we hope you get better and enjoy the rest of your time there.
Hey, thank you very much.
My name is Cupid Valentino, the modern day Cupid, and I just want to say one thing. Happy Valentine's Day.
South Pasadena's police chief recognized a 9-year-old boy as hero brother today. The boy, Jaquan Santos, dialed 911 to save his 3-year-old sister's life when she nearly choked to death in their home last month. Jaquan's mother, Jennifer, had asked him to make the call. His mum had previously helped him to memorize their home address. When he made the call, Jaquan says he had mixed feelings.
I was pretty scared, calm, and excited at the same time.
Officials who took the call say parents should follow Jennifer Santos' example and teach children how to phone the police. A new film is honoring Tom Bradley, former LA mayor. Stephanie Monte has the report.
When you spend time saying first black or the first Latino or the first anything, then it draws that attention to it. If you work hard and you do the right thing, then you'll get that accolade, or you just do it because that's who you are.
Orlitha Smith is visiting from Illinois with her children. While in L.A., she decided to visit the California African American Museum to attend the premiere screen of Tom Bradley's Impossible Dream. The 46-minute documentary is designed for 11th and 12th grade high school history and government classes. It will soon be handed out along with a comprehensive curriculum to LAUSD high schools in commemoration of Black History Month. Tom Bradley was the first African-American mayor of any major U.S. city. He was elected in 1973 and served 20 years.
We completely changed the face of city government, where women, minorities, sat in very powerful positions, and that came from the coalitions that he created and staying elected for 20 years.
District 8 Councilmember Bernard Parks was interviewed in the film and has helped sponsor the project.
He had a significant legacy of rebuilding the airport, bringing the Olympics to the city of Los Angeles in 84, skyline of downtown. He understood coalitions. He understood how working with different groups was a positive.
Parks is also lobbying the U.S. Postal Service to establish a Tom Bradley heritage stamp to be available during Black History Month. The film will screen tonight at 5 p.m. Stephanie Monti, Annenberg Radio News.
More than 700 Californians are currently waiting on death row. Some have been waiting for decades. It's a system that politicians have called inefficient, delaying justice. Here's former state governor Pete Wilson.
30 years is quite a long time to be a resident of death row. Old age should not be the leading cause of death on death row, but it literally has been.
Wilson joined two other former governors, George Dumican and Gray Davis, to raise support to reform the death penalty. Changes would speed up the appeals process, making waiting time shorter and expedite executions. Here's San Bernardino District Attorney Mike Ramos.
We are tired. Families are tired of the frivolous appeals, of the appeals that are just a tactic to delay justice.
Currently, the California Supreme Court handles all death penalty appeals. Proposed reforms would spread these cases out to lower courts, saving time. Ramos says this efficiency could also boost the state economy.
It's a fiscal issue as well. We will save millions in the state of California once this initiative passes.
The death penalty is a divisive issue, and this initiative will likely face opposition and spark debate. California has come close to banning executions entirely. In 2012, Prop 34, a measure to stop the death penalty, narrowly failed, with roughly 48% of voters saying no to capital punishment. Despite differences, Governor Davis is hoping Californians on both sides of the debate can stand behind the initiative.
People are either in favor of the death penalty or they're opposed to it, and that's their right. What we're trying to say is both the left and the right agree the process takes too long, costs way too much money, and there are too many inequities, and we're trying to solve those issues in cooperation with people from all sides of the ideological spectrum.
The potential measure is currently gaining signatures, and it could make its way onto a statewide ballot this year. And the weather. Expect highs in the 70s and lows in the 50s this weekend. Temperatures will cool down early next week. And we may have sunny skies here, but the East Coast is facing severe storms. Over 40 flights were cancelled at LAX today. Airport officials recommend checking with your airline if you're travelling this holiday weekend. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we hear from visitors to the LA Comic Book and Science Fiction Convention. Los Angeles is giving a new meaning to speed dating. For Valentine's Day, the Metro Red Line will host a two-hour speed dating event during lunchtime. In order to participate, go to one of the Metro Red Line stops, register and receive a wristband. Then, between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., hop on to either the first car going to Union Station or the last car heading to North Hollywood. Metro workers will be on hand to help, and two Cupids will accompany love seekers during the speed session. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. J.J. Maldonado, went out looking for love in the air.
In Hindi, to say I love you is mujhe tumse bahut pyar kar sakte hai.
Chiranjee khwala.
Je t'aime.
I love you.
I love you and happy Valentine's Day will be said many ways on this love-filled weekend. USC students relish the enjoyment of Valentine's Day.
This is first year that I'm going to have someone to spend it with.
I love Valentine's Day. It's a celebration of everyone. Not just love, but it's a great day.
It doesn't have too much value for me, but it's still a fun holiday and everyone seems to adhere to it.
It's kind of nice because me and my like best friend and my sister would always like be each other's Valentines.
A sweet way to enjoy Valentine's Day is with the classic heart-shaped conversation candies, which seem to be telling jokes of their own.
Fax me, that people have faxes.
Egghead is great. That's a word I would use to describe someone.
Go boy. This one is my favorite, actually.
Jiffy.
Cartoon characters. Dropped one. Sorry about that. I should probably stop holding this now.
JJ Maldonado, Annenberg Radio News.
If love is blind, perhaps it's ageless too. Essa Masso is 88 years old and Jane Cooper is 86. They both divorced and never remarried. But at a Hollywood retirement home, they both found a second chance at love. Danielle Tarasuk brings us this story.
Essa first caught sight of Jane in the dining room at Kingsley Manor Retirement Home. For Essa, it took just one moment for him to fall head over heels in lust with Jane.
I saw her and I said to myself, wow.
Jane remembers that magical moment a bit differently.
I didn't even notice him. So I sat a couple tables away from him.
Yeah, I don't even remember that.
But eventually Jane did take notice of Essa. And when she didn't mess around with all that coy stuff younger people do. Jane wasted no time.
But one day I realized that he was interesting and attractive to me. And so I abandoned the guy that I was with that time, and I went to bed with him that night.
Was the other guy hurt?
I'm sure he was. And the next day I had to apologize to him and say, I'm sorry, but that's the way it goes, or something like that.
So you essentially cheated on him.
You could say that.
Yep, you heard it right. They jumped right into the sack. But has the sensation of love become stale over the years?
Well, that's what bothers me about love. You're not as prolific as you were when you were younger. What else can I say? But the fact is, the feelings are the same.
So what was it like falling in love?
At this stage in life.
Everybody has to add, at this stage in life. It was sort of like falling in love when I was young. Come on, what are you asking me?
When you're young, the future feels abstract. And when a relationship goes sour, there's always a second chance. Or at least that's what it feels like. But somewhere down the line, the opportunities and your odds are just against you.
Well, I just love him very much. I just wanted to work very hard not to lose her. I lost my first wife. She decided to leave me and divorced me. And I still don't know why, but she did.
Essa and Jane walk hand in hand through the spacious grounds of their retirement home. Essa is 5'1", and Jane, who is several inches taller, towers over him. They often stop to look at the birds and tell stories about their families and past. They know death is coming, but find it irrelevant. Essa says that death can happen at any age, and that being in a relationship is about being in the now. Danielle Tarasuk, Annenberg Radio News.
Thank you.
you were in downtown Los Angeles on February 1st, you may have come across an unusual sight, a full-scale Chinese dragon. The 115th Golden Dragon Parade drew 100,000 people to watch. I spoke to Betty Tsang, Executive Director of the Los Angeles Chinese Chamber of Commerce, on how they put together the parade and how Chinese New Year is celebrated. Hello, Betty.
Hello, Barney.
What's the significance of the Chinese New Year and why is it one of the most important festivals of the year?
It symbolizes togetherness for the family mainly, and it's a new start. Every Chinese New Year, it symbolizes a beginning. So we would like to get rid of the old bad habits and welcome the new life. And we always wish each other good luck. We Gong Hei Fa Choi means that we wish you wealth and lucky. Chinese New Year is celebrated for like 10, 15 days. We just passed our the birthday for everyone. On the 7th day of Chinese New Year, it's birthday for everyone. So another meal that we celebrate for each other. Usually before, everybody like celebrate the birthday on the same day.
That sounds like a lot of fun, a big party.
Yes.
What's the significance of the horse, which is this year's Chinese symbol?
The horse is very energetic and it is like very vibrant and runs, you know, and then goes to achieve things. So when we say things, we will add the horse into our sentence. It's like, we wish you immediate success. So the horse is like the same sound as the immediate. Ma Dou Gong Sing.
Could you tell us about the 115th annual Golden Dragon Parade that took place in Los Angeles in downtown?
Actually, over 100,000 people participated in the past February 1st Golden Dragon Parade. We have all the city department involved to put this together. And schools, the Chinese schools in Los Angeles, Chinatown, and also in the suburbs like the Alhambra, Monterey Park, they all come together in this event. The Japanese community, the Thai dancers came over and performed in the parade.
How do events like the Golden Dragon Parade help you to promote and encourage the development of the Chinese-American business community?
We would like to provide a platform for the young professionals and the businesses to come together and do mixers events and understand each other and develop different businesses. We have both American businesses and Chinese-American businesses.
That was Betty Tsang, Executive Director of the Chinese Chamber of Commerce in Los Angeles. Geekdom is going through changes. Not only are there more fans of sci-fi and superheroes than ever before, a new generation is rising to join the subculture's ranks. Arts and culture producer Graham Clark paid a visit to the LA Comic Book and Science Fiction Convention over the weekend and heard from fans old and new.
This convention used to happen every month, but now it's been scaled back to draw a more dedicated crowd of several hundred people turned up at the Shrine Auditorium. So I asked, who goes to a comic convention these days? And it turns out, all kinds of folks.
As far as the room, it is very much an emporium. The girl who plays Pippi Longstocking all those years ago is here, and she's gorgeous. Comic books are very mainstream now. I mean, did you grow up familiar with Spider-Man?
I've been going to conventions my whole life, as you know. People in my generation grow up and have kids, and they've kind of come out of their nerd shells. They want to share that experience with their kids. So I really appreciate the kind of smaller conventions like this.
It's kind of like a tradition. I've been going since I was a kid to the same one. My mom used to take me. So I figured pass it on to the kids, too.
I like Spider-Man.
Well, I'm a toy hunter. I've been one of LA's oldest toy hunters. I've been doing this about 25 years. Now with the advent of, like, you know, the internet and all these kids out seeing all the old television shows, so all these kids that never knew Inspector Gadget or never knew those older shows from the 90s, now they're seeing them and they're like, wow, I got to get those toys. These kids are the ones that in 20 years will be buying all the stuff that's new now.
It's awesome getting to interact with people who are of the same culture and family, quote-unquote. You get to relate to people on a certain level, of people who have the same interests as you. So I like it a lot, and I think that's why we do it.
The Los Angeles Comic Book and Science Fiction Convention has been running since 1977. I'm Graham Clark with Annenberg Radio News.
Now it's time to hear the sounds of another place that's uniquely Los Angeles.
Sonic City! Sonic City!
There's a lot of fans out here in LA, including me. I'm a big fan of chicken and rice. It's almost in every corner in New York. You can find it anywhere you go, in this, you know, Manhattan, I guess. And I wanted, no one in LA has done it, and I'm in the restaurant business. I own a restaurant in Hollywood called Spice Hollywood, and I wanted to bring it down here to LA.
Sonic City!
Things my mother told me.
Sit up straight.
Wear a sweater. It's cold outside.
Text me when you get there.
Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today.
Detours, the storytelling podcast from Annenberg Radio News. Join us at the ARN booth, 5 p.m. on Mondays.
Keep clicking on our website, annenbergradio.org, for more news about South Los Angeles. And remember to follow us on Twitter at Annenberg Radio. About a dozen children got a special Valentine's Day treat at the Mattel Children's Hospital at UCLA this morning. The young patients were visited by a group of volunteers from a group called the People-Animal Connection. The volunteers brought along their dogs to visit the children and delivered handmade valentines. Kids at Children's Hospital Los Angeles had a fun visit as well. Basketball players from the Harlem Globetrotters delivered valentines to children there. Now we check in with Ashley Regal to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, guys. Airport workers around the country are asking for better wages and health care. Listen to what extra benefit LAX employees are requesting. And a 9-year-old saved his little sister's life. See how the South Pasadena police honored this young hero. Plus, flowers are being sold for 40 hours straight to ensure your love life blossoms this Valentine's Day. ATVN will show you where you should go to pick up your bouquet. Tune in tonight on Trojan Vision, channel 8.1 at 6 p.m.
Thanks very much, Ashley. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from ATVN, JJ Maldonado, Jenna Pittaway, and Sarah Zahidi. Our production assistant is Lexi McAvinci. Graham Clark produces our arts and culture segment, and the newscast producer is Victor Figueroa. Our executive producer is Catherine Davis. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Bryony Ng.